free shipping.
Broadcasting live from our nation's capital, buried under 10 inches of snow. Hope all of you are alive and thriving wherever you're listening to us, whether it's on the East Coast or the West Coast, or my favorite, the flyover states in between in the South and the North, and, of course, all of our friends listening in Australia and in Europe as well. We welcome everybody to America tonight. The reason I'm in Washington is to talk about health care and get the facts, the skinny, and cut the crap. Let's really have a serious conversation about what it means and is repeal realistic after what the House voted. Is it stymied in the Senate with the possibility of not even an up and down vote anyway? And the president, of course, with the veto power, would even piecemealing things out of the law actually work? And getting all sides of it, the good, the bad, the ugly, and frankly, some who are just indifferent at this point. One thing we're not indifferent to is the snow that I alluded to being buried underneath it. In some parts, it is up to 10 inches, and the snow, of course, on its way, New York and New England getting slammed by it. But D.C., it was terrible. They were pounded. The metro transit types actually pulled buses off the roads because the conditions were so bad. On 95, a road maybe many of you are familiar with that runs up and down the East Coast, just awful. People trapped for 2 and 3 hours. Even the president wasn't immune to this, as the president was off after the State of the Union heading to the Midwest for a speech there. On his way back, he was actually caught in the traffic. What normally would be maybe a 20-minute ride for him instead turned out to be an hour because they couldn't put the Marine One helicopter in the air. He had to go by presidential cavalcade, I like to call it. But it took an hour because the roads were just that jammed. So what's happened is because of the snow that fell, the nation's capital was basically at a standstill late in the day. People left early, schools were closed, and that sort of thing. It was just that bad with power lines coming down, so power outages all over the place, and blinding snow. At one point, it was falling for about 6 hours, and that's pretty much the weather, canceling flights and whatnot. In New York especially, and in a lot of those places, Boston and New York, where people would take the commuter flights in to Washington. There still was conversation, though, about the State of the Union and some of the key things, giving it a night to digest, some of the key things that the president talked about and some reaction to it, even from his own party. Senator Harry Reid, that's where we start, and Harry Reid was actually pretty critical over what the president had to say as far as earmarks were concerned. Take a listen.
Without any question, this isn't the first time. He knows how I feel about this. It's really, he is not solving anything to do with the deficit. It is only for show. We have a constitutional obligation as members of Congress to have congressionally directed spending.
And speaking of spending, really so much of the conversation turned to the budget, the budget, the budget, and the fact that where are we on the budget? And how many of you have called this show to talk about why can't we have a balanced budget? When was the last time we had a balanced budget? We talked about it. It was 1957, and you have to go back to the Eisenhower administration. So is there even a realistic possibility that we'll get that budget balanced in the next couple of years? Now, new information released by the CBO on the heels of the State of the Union address that, yes, the deficit is even worse than we could imagine. Listen, you get into the trillions, you start saying $1.4 trillion, you start to talk about how do you balance this budget, what do you freeze, these domestic programs, and isn't it just a drop in the bucket? There's so much more that's needed, but it's about the economy. It's about the economic debate that so many people are having in their own households. While the rest of us come up with our own personal budgets, why can't we have a budget for the federal government? Somebody who addressed that was Senator Chuck Schumer, also a Democrat like Reid. Here was his 2 cents on the budget.
We must attack the problem in a bipartisan way. But we need to be balanced in our approach, just like the president suggested last night. It makes sense to cut programs that are wasteful and unnecessary, but we must grow the programs that are needed to preserve the American dream, create jobs, and build a better future for the children of this generation.
And in saying that, what Schumer probably is partially alluding to is something that came up in the day, as I said, the Congressional Budget Office mentioned that Social Security is going to pay out $45 billion more in benefits this year than it'll collect in payroll taxes, so that'll strain the finances even that much more. The deficits continue until the Social Security trust funds are eventually drained. This is the reality we all know, right? And the year that's probably when that's going to happen is 2037. Remember, before in the past, the CBO has said that Social Security would start running permanent deficits in 2016. But in the short term, certainly, with so many that rely on Social Security, the weak economy and the payroll taxes lagging and applications for benefits rising, it's disastrous. Obviously, when you try to crunch those numbers, it's nasty. And in the meantime, while all of that's going on, the pressure there, you have in the heartland and in the East Coast and in the West Coast and pretty much in a lot of the nooks and crannies across the United States, people worrying about their own finances and trying to stay in their houses. You know, the foreclosure crisis is not in our rearview mirror by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, it's getting worse because of unemployment and the job prospects just aren't there. Seattle, Houston, and Chicago, they seem to be sort of insulated from the problems of foreclosure somewhat, but now this is the second shoe that's dropping. The homeowners there are starting to fall behind on their mortgage payments as well. So in the meantime, Senator John McCain, he threw in his 2 cents as well, just like Harry Reid did, on earmarks and also medical malpractice.
I was so pleased, and I also hope we'll work on enhanced rescissions. You know, there's a number of things the president said last night that we've been talking about for a long time, reducing the corporate tax rate, vetoing pork barrel spending, medical malpractice reform. I can't tell you how many times we tried that.
All right. So, again, what do we take out of that? Three different approaches to the State of the Union address, and the thought pattern, I think, here is mostly over, is it bipartisan cooperation? What about the money part of it? And wait a second on the whole earmark deal. Yes, there's a lot of pork, and yes, we can pull out the ridiculous projects, but not everything is pork. Hey, coming up on the flip side here on America Tonight, we're going to take a look at sports for a second because the NFL getting ready for its biggest game, which would be the Super Bowl in Dallas, Texas, Green Bay, and Pittsburgh, could be in the middle of a work stoppage. So what does that mean to fans? How long will it possibly drag out? One of the major sticking points, I talked to someone today from the union, is the 18 games. The players just don't see it. 18 games, the wear and tear on the body. It's not even about the finances. A little sports shorts next on the flip side with me, Kate Delaney.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com. Or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
One of the most potent ways to lower blood pressure is to inhibit the angiotensin converting enzyme in the body, also called ACE. In nature, there are a group of proteins found in unheated whey that inhibit the ACE enzyme. The most potent ACE inhibitor to date is lactokinin. While lactokinin does not have the inhibitory potency of synthetic drugs commonly used in the treatment of hypertension, this naturally occurring whey peptide may be able to help keep blood pressure normal. The most powerful whey protein supplement on the market is One World Whey. One World Whey is the first ever unheated whey protein powder from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is easily digested and tastes delicious. Use One World Whey to support your exercise or weight loss goals, your optimal blood pressure, energy, endurance, and mood. To order, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
So if you just tuned in to America Tonight, hi, welcome to the show, broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. We're going to be talking about health care in the next couple of days and into the next couple of weeks. We're talking to lawmakers and people who try to set policy and have vested interest on both sides of this. We'll be doing that in our next day and into the next couple of weeks, as I just mentioned. It's getting the skinny and cutting the crap. Let's just stop all the rhetoric and let's get the real cold, hard facts. Let's get the numbers on this sucker and see what can be done and see what really the true politics aside thought is on making something happen that's a workable solution for all. Is that possible? Can we get along? Can we make this happen? I think all of us agree that there should be some kind of health reform. The problem is the nightmare that now has ensued with the economic side of it and how so many are going to end up eating it because of the premiums that are just flat out on the rise and what's happening to small businesses. But we're going to do that in the next couple of days. And to re-rack the show, to heap some more of that financial burden on, I mentioned Social Security. The fund is now seen to be probably empty by, what is that year? 2037. So figure out your age, quickly do the math, and yeah, it's ugly. And of course, the federal deficit, let me give you the official number, is going to hit $1.5 trillion. That means big problems, because even in the State of the Union address, President Obama's proposed freeze on some agencies to help somehow stem the bleeding of the budget woes is just simply not going to be enough, because the number's even that much higher, $1.5 trillion. Ooh. Speaking of money and topping sports shorts, there is a chance, a very good chance, that the NFL could end up in a labor problem because of the fact that there is no collective bargaining agreement at this point. And the players are saying through their union rep that they don't want the 18 games as being proposed. a lot of fans out there love the idea of 18 games, but then you have to think of the preseason games and how much damage that could do on some of these guys, the wear and tear. So I'm kind of siding with the football players on this one. But the bottom line is there is no collective bargaining agreement. So the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, announces earlier in the day that he's going to slice his salary, check this out, to $1 if there is a work stoppage after the agreement expires in March. Now, Goodell makes about $10 million a year, which includes bonuses, but he's saying, I'm going to do it. Also, the chief negotiator says he's going to do the same thing. He makes about $5 million a year. He's willing to take a dollar. And Goodell has asked the league's compensation committee to delay any bonus payments to him until something happens with the NFL Players Association, until they come up with some kind of a deal. Like I said, what's really happened is the 18 games especially has caused a lot of the excitement in the fact that the players don't want to agree to this, and there's a chance that they're going to have this lockout. There's a really good chance that that'll happen. Remember, the NFL owners themselves opted out of the agreement back in 2008. People forget that. And there was talk that, hey, don't forget about this because this is going to come up before you know it. And there's going to be a real problem here if some kind of an agreement isn't reached. But I don't think they're going to reach an agreement. I think Goodell, in his grand gesture, it'll just be that. It's a gesture. It's a who cares? So you get $10 million, you get crazy, stupid money, and you're just going to take a dollar. Well, the bottom line is the gesture is just not going to make these players change their mind. They're not going to change their mind. And in this negotiation process, unless the 18-game number changes and players want more as far as their health is concerned and retirement, that's always been a big problem. They're going to be at a serious impasse here, and I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see football somehow not start on time. I don't think we're going to get to those training camps and whatnot unless they come up with some kind of a compromise. All right, since we're talking about sports here for a second, you know, I'm a huge tennis person. You know, for all the venting we do with politics and the fury and how upset all of us get each day when the nonsense continues to emanate from the Capitol and certainly beyond, my way to kick it is to watch tennis or sports or whatever. All of you who have listened to the show know that, and I know a lot of you share that same love of whether it's doing the couch potato thing or participating yourself in getting involved in something to do with sports. Well, Rafael Nadal had a chance to get a grand slam, a natural grand slam. That hadn't been done since Rod Laver because he had won all the last majors. And unfortunately, somebody got in his way, another Spanish player, David Ferreira, and he went down in three sets. What a shock that was. And now Ferreira is going to play Andy Murray in the semifinals. And as I mentioned, it was just straight sets, 6-4, 6-2, 6-3. Nadal would have been the first man, 69, if he'd gone on to win the Aussie Open to hold all four major titles at once, but it wasn't to be. Here's what he had to say afterwards.
Last year I was very lucky. I was healthy almost all the year. I was playing unbelievable during all the year. This year I did, I think, all the right things to start the season playing really well. And seriously, I was playing like this in the first division in Abu Dhabi. After that, the starts a problem. It was a difficult month for me. You know? That's part of the sport. Accept, keep working. I didn't feel at my best. I had a problem during the match in the very beginning. And after that, the match was almost over. But for me, it's difficult coming here, guys, and to speak in Doha about I wasn't healthy. Today, I have another problem, and seems like I always have problems when I lose. And I don't want to have this image, no?
All right, so Nadal upset. He's out of the tournament. On the American side of things, no Americans are even left in the tournament on the women's side or in the men's side of things. It's been rough for men's tennis and actually for women's tennis without Serena Williams. The drought is certainly on when it comes to wins, and we see that Andy Roddick gets knocked out so early in some of these tourneys, even if he makes it through a couple of matches. Here's one last one for sports shorts, and I know a lot of you are motorheads, but Fox Sports Chair, the chairman, David Hill, says the NASCAR races need to be shortened. Can you imagine? So he thinks that they should fit into a three-hour broadcast because they just drag out too long. Anybody out there think they drag out too long? Do you just leave that tube on, go out, do some yard work, come back in, and it's still on? I can say honestly I've done that. Anyway, because they stretch into the fourth or fifth hour or whatever, what Hill is saying is it contributes to the fact that the TV ratings just aren't there, that the race is way, way too long. And now, because of all of the other distractions out there, this is the time to shore it up and make it shorter. If we could just get into 4 hours, nothing over 4 hours, put the whole coverage in there, do 40 minutes of pre-race and do 20 minutes of post, and that's it. And he's pushing NASCAR to shorten its races, but NASCAR said back to him pretty much, "We don't negotiate." In other words, I don't think so. I don't think Brian France, the NASCAR chairman, is going to worry too much about it fitting into the time frame for Fox and whether or not they're getting good ratings, although he would be concerned about the fan base. The 38 race schedule, just so you know, is divided by three networks. Fox has the first 13, and then you go from there after that. And Hill wants to keep NASCAR, he says, on Fox, but it's a business deal, and if they can't get the ratings up and they won't shorten these races, there's a chance they'll just let it slip away, and that maybe there should be more of an emphasis on drivers this season instead of the mechanics of racing. So, in other words, they need personalities. They need personalities that people can grab onto, and that's what they're going to do. Stay with us. Coming up next, in case you missed it, the Academy Awards. That's another distraction. Ooh, we're talking about it next here on America Tonight.
This special announcement is brought to you by Renaissance Charge.
Have you ever wondered if you could make your car run on 100% electric power for free? It is now possible. How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and a free energy generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you lots of money? Because our customers asked for it, we have organized a Renaissance Charge Conference workshop on July 29th to July 31st at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy, Tesla technology. Register early for the best seats and advanced workshop by visiting rcharge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
New year, new way to smoke, and it's totally wicked.
Introducing Totally Wicked e-liquid electronic cigarettes, the highest quality e-cigarettes in the world. With Totally Wicked e-liquid cigarettes, there's no flame, no secondhand smoke, no carbon monoxide, no tar, no unsightly brown teeth or fingers, and no lingering smell. Totally Wicked e-liquid cigarettes have a battery charge that lasts up to 8 hours. Plus, with a Totally Wicked Tornado model, the average pack-a-day smoker is likely to save over $1,000 a year. The Totally Wicked Tornado provides a storm of vapor. See it at totallywicked-eliquid.com. That's totallywicked-eliquid.com. Or call 888-761-9425. Get a 15% discount with promo code GCNLIVE. Go to totallywicked-eliquid.com. or call 888-761-9425. That's 888-761-9425. Or online at totallywicked-eliquid.com. Totally Wicked e-liquid cigarettes.
The next generation of alternative smoking.
Is it really possible to get out of debt without payment plans or attorneys?
18 years ago, we developed a program that has made thousands debt-free in just 90 days. It's called Zero Debt in 90 Days, and it works for all credit card debt, medical bills, even collection lawsuits.
When I first joined, I was being sued, so I used the program methods. And after filing one piece of paper, the collection lawsuit was dismissed.
With Zero Debt in 90 Days, your success is guaranteed in writing. There is no other program of its kind. Don't be alone when creditors gang up on you. Let our team of experts provide the resources to fight back and stop creditors in only 90 days, guaranteed. Prevent wage garnishments, bank levies, and stop collection calls with our proven program. Call Zero Debt in 90 Days now, 800-477-9256, and ask for free information from an expert who also completed our program. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
There's a man named Dr. Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor. Both a veterinarian and a naturopathic physician, Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on health care by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, taking charge of their life, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs leading to side effects. This is clearly a deadly recipe. The good news is Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government and big pharma manipulation of our healthcare system. I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare and have joined forces to help this tireless crusader spread his message. Visit InfoWarsTeam.com and listen to Dr. Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I want you to join our InfoWars team. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
America tonight, Stephen Shohat joins us from Hollywood. Yeah, he's an insider. He is. He's written a cool book, Hollywood Stories. It's a great read. I know I say this every single time he comes on. I feel like I'm his agent. But he also, I mean, he takes these Hollywood tours. He knows the landscape. He really does. And it was a big day in Hollywood, very early in the morning. It's interesting because at night you close things out in Washington with the State of the Union, and early in the morning, though, it was all about the movies. We could discuss real reality and fake reality, but there were some interesting things that I think came out of the awards. You know, you can always talk about who got snubbed and who's right there, like the 12 Academy Award nominations for, check this out, we're going to play a little bit of it before we go to Stephen, The King's Speech. Take a listen.
We need to relax your jaw muscles, strengthen your tongue. And you do have a flabby tummy, so we'll need to spend some time strengthening your diaphragm. Simple mechanics.
Fine.
Jack and Jill
went up the hill.
Went up the hill.
So, best picture, best director, best actor. Interesting movies, I think, that were chosen, and I saw some of them. Social Network was another one. We'll get to that in a second. But, Stephen, it's always a big day when they do the Academy Awards, isn't it?
Yeah, especially when they nominate 10 movies. Who can keep up with them all? I've seen 7 out of the 10 so far, so still got 3 to go. But yeah, I guess the big surprise today, if there is a surprise, is Christopher Nolan not getting nominated for the Inception, for directing Inception, and people think that's a snub or a conspiracy or something like that. But it's probably just a collective taste. I mean, there might be some resentment because of his success. It kind of is similar in a way, I guess, to Spielberg, who didn't get nominated and win till I think he was 47 with Schindler's List. And so maybe I think Christopher Nolan's about 41, so maybe he has a few years to go.
Does that happen a lot? I mean, is it politics? It's about politics, right?
You know what? I don't know if it's politics or if it's just, like I said, a collective taste. I don't know if people are getting together in a room and saying, you know, let's snub this guy or we don't like this one. Or, you know, I think it's just a bunch of people who might react similarly to the same thing, and you know, it might seem that way. But I don't think there's a you know, a big conspiracy theory. And one thing about, you know, the politics of it, you just don't know. I mean, you had, you know, Terrence Howard campaigned heavily for his award for Hustle and Flow. Monique didn't campaign at all for Precious. Monique won. Same with Mickey Rourke for The Wrestler. He campaigned like crazy. Sean Penn didn't do a thing. Sean Penn won. And Mickey Rourke didn't. So, you know, you can go back and forth with these things. You know, there doesn't seem to be a pattern to it. It's different every year. But I'm glad the King's Speech got 12 nominations, though.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah, yeah. I love that. I love The Fighter. I'm not so high on The Social Network, actually. I'll tell you a movie I really loved that didn't get nominated at all. It's called The Concert. And it was a foreign film, and it was it's about this group that passes themselves off as the Bolshoi Orchestra. You know, it's a very funny movie, and it's also a Weinstein produced movie, but it didn't get any attention this year. But it's an interesting crop of movies, you know, we'll have to see where it goes. There's certainly some influence to get The Social Network elected as Best Picture. I mean, even in Entertainment Weekly, I noticed they described the King's Speech as unhip, you know, whereas The Social Network, you know, is obviously the hippest thing around, so, or at least presented that way. So it'll be interesting to see how the Oscar voters go on this.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, since you said The Social Network, I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was great, but we have a little snippet of it. We want everybody to hear it in case they miss it. Let's roll The Social Network.
You must really hate the Winklevosses.
I don't hate anybody. The Winklevi aren't suing me for intellectual property theft. They are suing me because for the first time in their lives, things didn't work out the way they were supposed to for them.
Yeah, there you go. And that's the whole thing where he had to pony up money. Zuckerberg had to pony up money, and the whole idea of, did he steal the idea of Facebook? I mean, here's the thing. This guy just gets bigger and bigger, Stephen. Zuckerberg is just in control of the world.
He does, and of course Facebook gets bigger and bigger. But you know, Zuckerberg said some things about that movie that first of all, they made it seem in the movie like he was trying to win this girl by creating Facebook. And he said, you know, I was dating the same girl before I Facebook was created that I'm dating now. Second of all, he said that the lawsuits, which are a big portion of the movie, was such a little portion of his life and such a little portion of the Facebook experience. So they had to find, like any story, the dramatic turning point to tell it on. But the thing about it is that the problem with that movie to me is there, you don't like anybody.
I mean,
The King's Speech, you really like the people. The Fighter, you really like the people, or you know, you have emotion. There's no emotion in this movie whatsoever. Nobody to connect to, in my opinion. I mean, and the other funny thing to me, Kate, is that here's the Social Network, and you know, it's kind of frat boyish to a certain extent. I mean, they have frat boys in it.
Sure.
And you know, they're showing parties and things like that, and it's PG-13. And here's The King's Speech, which is obviously a classy movie, but because the king has some you know, frustrating moments, and he lets out some bad language at some points, it's an R-rated movie. And if you, I can't believe that The King's Speech to me, I don't know, it just seems so much classier. And now Harvey Weinstein is planning, apparently, to re-edit The King's Speech and get rid of some of the bad language and make it a PG-13 movie so more people can see it during Oscar season. Now, that, I don't know, that could backfire on him, or it could lead to a wider audience. But I mean, he's, and the director, Tom Hooper, he had no comment about that whatsoever, so you wouldn't think he would be too happy about changing the cut at this point. But that's why they call him Harvey Scissorhands, because he cuts things. So
sometime we're going to have you come on, and we're going to talk about the Motion Picture Association and the whole rating board. Boy, I saw a great documentary on that, and I'm sure you have some thoughts on that, too. Hey, you mentioned The Fighter. I want everybody to hear a little snippet of The Fighter.
You got your confidence and your focus from O'Keefe, and from Sal, and your father, and from me. Dickie's a junk bag.
Hey.
He's a junk bag.
Why am I the problem? I'm his blood. I'm his family. I'm the one fighting, okay? Not you, not you, and not you. I know what I need.
And you need Dickie?
I want Dickie back.
Yeah, and you know, it took Mark Wahlberg a while to get that movie made, didn't it? That was a hard one to get made.
Yeah, he had, the real Mickey living in his house, actually, so he could get everything to be very, very authentic. Yeah, it was a, yeah. Mark Wahlberg's really doing well right now with Entourage and I'm forgetting the name of that show, the crime show, Atlantic.
Oh, yeah, the Atlantic City show, Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah, Boardwalk Empire, yeah, and The Fighter. The thing about that is that Christian Bale got nominated and Mark Wahlberg didn't, and it goes to show you, in a lot of these movies, what Academy voters do look for, again, you're talking about collective taste, is a showy performance, but you can't really have a showy performance like Christian Bale unless you have a straight man is the right word, but a sort of low-key performance, in this case Mark Wahlberg, to go alongside that. And Christian Bale experienced that when he was sort of the straight man to Heath Ledger as the Joker. And he said, you know, he's given performances like Mark Wahlberg before, and you don't get that kind of attention. And that, I mean, you go back when they made the movie Titanic, Leonardo DiCaprio didn't want to do the role of the character Jack, and James Cameron said, you know, I know what you want. You want to do him with a hunchback or a limp or something to make him showy, but it's mm-hmm. a lot more difficult to play your nice Jimmy Stewart type role than it is to play one of those, you know, more deformed or whatever you want to call them characters. But that type of character, whether it's Rain Man or Elephant Man or something like that, tends to get more Oscar voter attention, at least it has over the years. But you know, you can really appreciate the low-key acting that Mark Wahlberg did in that film.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, we only have a couple of quick minutes left. I'm going to switch gears on you because I know we were going to talk about Jack LaLanne. Jack LaLanne, wow, that guy, he like lived forever. He had 10 lives. Until the other day.
Yeah, 96 years old. Mm. Hard to imagine him as a sickly kid with a sugar addiction who admitted to trying to kill his brother with an axe at one point. And he said, my brother was so relieved I was too sickly to really put any strength into it. And then at the age of 15, he went to hear a lecture from a health nutritionist named Paul Bragg, and it just turned Jack LaLanne's life around, and he started eating differently. I mean, I don't want to say people with sugar addictions are normally homicidal, by the way, but he started eating totally differently and obviously became really into fitness and started teaching people at his high school and became the captain of the football team. And then, of course, eventually he parlayed that into a television show that was on for 34 years. And,
yeah.
And you know, he always had some problems on the show. Like one time, you know, he was talking about this processed food. Oh, are we running out of time?
We're running out of time.
Okay.
Save that story for the next time, though. But that was excellent stuff and what you told us about how who knew he was a sickly kid and then look at what he turned out to be. Stephen Showhead, we'll pick it up again next Tuesday right here in America Tonight. Thank you.
Sore throat? Spray that with Dermatol. Diaper rash? Spray that with Dermatol.
Ouch!
Burn or cut? Spray that with Dermatol for shockingly fast relief. If you had room for only one first aid product in your preparedness kit, you need Dermatol because it works on almost every skin irritation or injury. All-natural Dermatol brings amazing relief to burns, cuts, scrapes, bites, boils, shingles, rashes, elderly skin tears, even chronic diabetic ulcers and bed sores. Dermatol is an all-natural, antimicrobial, antiviral, and antifungal wound cleanser that speeds healing with no side effects. It's safe for all ages and skin types, and is even safe enough to spray on sore throats or onto sore eyes. Read our many testimonials at Dermatol.com, spelled Dermatol.com. Order online at Dermatol.com or call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Effective, efficient, economical. Spray it all with Dermatol.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
If you're serious about playing college football, give yourself the competitive edge with the National Underclassmen Football Combine. The NUC is the longest-running underclassmen event and the most respected combine and football camp in the nation, specifically designed to give athletes early recruiting exposure. There's no better time than now to compete in the National Underclassmen Football Combine. Call 888-NUC-MVP1 or go to nationalunderclassmen.com to find out more.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Jump back to the State of the Union, and we're going to call this odds and ends. The Oscars in the morning and then late at night, the State of the Union. And for the Oscars, all total, and I did mention this, but I'll say it again, The King's Speech had 12 nominations, True Grit, 10, and then you can pick it apart from there and go through. The Social Network had 8 nominations, all totaled. You know, Michelle Williams was there for Blue Valentine, the movie that she was in. And The Kids Are All Right, another movie where Annette Bening and Mark Ruffalo are both nominated in that one. And Julianne Moore isn't nominated for an Oscar whatsoever. And that movie is starting to get a lot of buzz. And Annette Bening already got a Gold Globe, if you remember, a couple of weeks ago. Sometimes that can be the forerunner to the Oscar. And here's a little snippet of The Kids Are All Right.
Your mom and I sense that there's some other stuff going on in your life. We just want to be let in.
What do you mean?
Are you having a relationship with someone?
You can tell us, honey. We would understand and support you.
Look, I only met him once.
What do you mean, once?
Did he find you online?
Wait,
what?
Wait, who did you meet once?
Paul.
Paul,
I met him with Joni.
Why was Joni there?
She set it up.
We forget the setup. Who's Paul?
Our sperm donor.
All right, that kind of gives you a little glimpse into what that's all about. By the way, for Best Picture, and Steven mentioned this, you have 10 pictures, Black Swan, The Fighter, Inception, The Kids Are All Right, The King's Speech, 127 Hours, The Social Network, Toy Story 3, True Grit, Winner's Bone. I think you saw almost all of those pictures, didn't you, Matt? What did you like the best of all of them for Best Picture?
Wow. I think
that's tough.
It is tough. Black Swan was, I thought, though, out of all the movies, I thought the one least deserving of all the hype that it's been getting was True Grit. And I know a lot of people will probably disagree with me, but it was a good movie, but I just didn't feel like it was as great as everyone else kind of made it out to be. And I don't know if maybe it's just I didn't appreciate enough, maybe I'm not familiar enough with the older version of it, but I just think it was a good movie, it wasn't a great movie, and I thought there were other movies that were better. I thought The Social Network actually was a better movie than that. I thought Black Swan was a better movie. The Kids Are All Right's a good movie, and I just felt like of the movies, True Grit was probably the least favorite of mine.
All right, True Grit I thought was good, but I agree with you. I can't believe it's getting all those accolades. He brings up Black Swan, actress in a lead role, Annette Bening, The Kids Are All Right, Nicole Kidman, Rabbit Hole, Jennifer Lawrence, Winner's Bone, Natalie Portman, Black Swan, Michelle Williams, I already mentioned, she's up for Blue Valentine. If you look at actor in a lead role, Javier Bardem, Beautiful, I think that's how you say it, Jeff Bridges, True Grit, Jesse Eisenberg, The Social Network, Colin Firth, The King's Speech, he should win, or James Franco, 127 Hours. Also, I love him in anything that he does. Actress in a supporting role, Amy Adams, The Fighter, Helena Bonham Carter, The King's Speech, Melissa Leah, and The Fighter. She was in that. Haley Steinfeld, True Grit, The Little Girl, Jackie Weaver, Animal Kingdom. I'm going to give you a couple of more because I hate that when people talk about the awards and they don't tell you who was nominated. Actor in a supporting role, Christian Bale, The Fighter, John Hawkes, Winner's Bone, Jeremy Renner, The Town. I saw that. He was excellent in it. Mark Ruffalo, I mentioned him. The King's All Right. The Kids Are All Right, rather. Not The Kings. The Kids Are All Right. Jeffrey Rush, The King's Speech. For directing, Darren Aronofsky, Black Swan, David O. Russell, The Fighter, Tom Hopper, The King's Speech, David Fincher, The Social Network, Joel and Ethan Coen, True Grit. Original screenplay, probably, you got Another Year, you got The Fighter, you got Inception, The Kids Are All Right, The King's Speech. I love to give credit to the writers. I don't think they get enough credit. Anyway, that pretty much sums it up for you. That's your Oscar nods, and then there's all the other things in between. These are the nominations, anyway. The stuff, whether it's for original score or costumes or whatever it might be. It's funny because some people, I was reading some of the tweets that I got, some people were comparing Barack Obama's State of the Union, our president's State of the Union address, to the King's speech. I think it was kind of a far cry from the King's speech, and I haven't seen the King's speech. I've only seen a little of the snippets from it. But there were a lot of people who had different things to say about some of what the president expressed. And one of them, a couple of them were this. Representative Alan West, who is a retired Army lieutenant colonel, said that Obama did the right thing by mentioning American exceptionalism, because he talked about who we are, about America being the greatest country, still being the greatest country, and talked about that you know, we're the country that can do it. I think when he said that, it made me think the idea is we're not going to go down to the depths of what's terrible and what's wrong. We're going to build up. And that seemed to be the focus of the speech. Senator Dianne Feinstein from California said that she liked, now this is a big-time Democrat, she said she liked the focus on the economy, but she thought there weren't enough specifics on the debts. And I thought this was one of the funnier things that I read, and I actually heard him talking somewhere. Senator Tom Coburn, a Republican from Oklahoma, commented on Obama's Sputnik reference in response to the State of the Union address, and he said the president's biggest push was to advance an argument he's made several times, but he said every time that happens, the problem is that we've had countless Sputnik moments in recent decades, and it's nothing but a bunch of junk. It turns out to be nothing but a bunch of junk. Some things that I got from what the president said was the fact, and I mentioned this already at the very top of the show when we were talking to Ellen Ratner from Washington, D.C., is the fact that there was nothing about guns. There were hints that he might kind of gloss over it, use the whole Tucson thing, but that wasn't the case at all. No mention whatsoever. It makes sense. If I were writing the speech for him, I wouldn't put it in there, because from his point of view, why would you bring that up with the assault ban expired? Why would you even tiptoe in that direction? He talked about briefly Tucson and the seat being empty, Gabby Gifford's seat being empty, and she's a friend and colleague and all that. He talked a lot about education, the race to the top, and how that has to be a priority because overall we're ninth in the world when it comes to college degrees and we need to be number one. He talked about what a good job Republicans and Democrats did in the race to the top, but not in Washington, the governors who have pushed to make this a reality. He talked about immigration, which I thought was shocking, that they need to deal with it. He's fully prepared to deal with the illegal immigration problems, and he pushed for really the anchor babies to stay to get education. There's no reason why they should be thrown out. It's not their fault. They didn't do anything wrong, that they're here in the United States pledging allegiance to the flag. And he talked about in 5 years, 80% of Americans will have access to high-speed rail, and that this is one of the things that could help to get people working, because there would be so many jobs created by this high-speed rail that would connect the country. And to that I say, hey, for the flyover states, I think it would be good. But where is this money coming from? And vetoing any bill with earmarks was very big for this president, vetoing any bill with earmarks. He flat out said that. So I think the two surprises were that one, to me, and the immigration deal, and of course tipping into healthcare, knowing how contentious it is. This is a little bit on the State of the Union. By the way, my grade for the president, the mood, you know, it was kind of, I won't say it was a lighter mood, but it wasn't that angry, bitter tone that you normally hear, and maybe it was because of the sitting together thing. I would say he gets a B minus. You might disagree, or you might think he gets a better grade than that. Send me your grades from State of the Union to AmericaTonight.net.